today's interview is going to be something that hunters of all stripes deal with, and it comes in many different forms. But we had a really good article in Great Days Outdoors magazine called The Agony of Defeat. And really, it boils down to we've got cold feet, we've got wet feet, we've got blistered feet, we've got sore feet, and some people got stinky feet. I don't know who those folks are, but we're going to be talking with Chris Curra with Lacrosse Footwear today, and we're going to be getting the scoop on, first and foremost, Chris, I want to talk about cold feet. That's what everybody wants to know, is how do we keep our feet warm? So welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about what causes cold feet. I think it's important to understand the cause of anything before we can figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, you always got to know the problem before you can know the solution, right? So, yeah, cold feet, that's probably one of the biggest questions I get as well. And really, in my experience, it really comes down to different people have different issues. So the different causes of cold feet, one of them is circulation. If you have poor circulation in your extremities, in your feet, your hands, your fingers, they're more likely going to get colder quicker or sooner than what somebody who has good, you know, healthy circulation. So circulation definitely comes
now
into effect.
With poor circulation, is that something that's is an internal problem with the person, or is it an external problem with their socks or their footwear, or what's going on there?
I think it's a little combination of both. Some people just had naturally have poor circulation with blood flow to their fingers. I had a buddy whose fingers would turn purple as a kid growing up because he just had poor circulation, and it was just kind of a natural thing for him. I think age affects circulation internally a little bit as well. But then there's a lot of outside factors that affect circulation as well. One of those is, you know, how tight your boots are. Some people think they have to wear, you know, three pairs of socks to help keep, or the more pairs of socks they use, the warmer their feet are going to be. When, you know, some space in footwear is your friend, because if your boots aren't tight, you're increasing the level of your internal circulation, or you're letting that internal circulation do its job. But if your boots are too tight, you start to cut off that circulation, which decreases blood flow to your extremities, which then in turn affects how cold your feet feel. And they start to get cold, and you start to lose feeling and all that fun stuff that comes with that.
So what is too tight now? So if a guy's got on, you know, he needs to wear one pair of good socks. They can be wool or polyester, you know, type synthetic type socks, something that will wick away moisture. But if he's got on his normal hunting socks, how much space does he need in that boot, say around the toe box?
Around the toe box, I think you're going to start getting into what proper fit is.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you know, most people will say that you want, you know, a thumb's width of, you know, I was thinking of it as the rule of thumb would be a thumb's width of space between your longest toe and the front of the boot. Right.
Right.
But that's just the length of your foot. Yeah. That's not accounting for the overall volume of your foot. If you mm-hmm. have a wide foot, you're going to need a wider boot. And then some people have just kind of a natural, taller, you know, fatter foot that takes up more volume in the foot. So you don't want too much space. I'll talk about a couple different things. In general, you just want to make sure that you have a proper fitting boot. So go and get fitted. Go to a retailer, spend some time with a footwear specialist, and have them measure your foot and help you get into the proper footwear. And then from then, once you get into the proper size, now you can start playing with the thickness of your socks and different stuff like that. People up north, where it's getting really cold in the winter and they're doing long sits in a tree stand or different things like that, they'll actually buy a size up in a boot so they can wear a thicker, heavier sock, still be able to hike in and be comfortable, but it's allowing them to layer up a little bit more than what they would normally wear in their traditional size. So if I'm a big foot. If I'm a 13, if I lived in the, you know, upper Midwest, Michigan, Minnesota, and those areas, some guys, they buy a 14 so they can wear a heavier sock than what they normally would wear, just to help provide a little bit more insulation for their foot without cutting off circulation.
I feel your pain on the Bigfoot Club. I'm a 14 wide, so that is that's a tough size to find. And what I noticed growing up, I always struggled with cold feet. And when I bought my first pair, they were actually lacrosse rubber boots. I bought my first pair of lacrosse rubber boots. My feet stopped getting cold, and I thought it was something with the boot. I thought the boot had the right amount of insulation. But I think what I've learned over the years is that it was allowing my foot more room inside the boot to create some airspace and allow the sock to actually help keep my foot warm. So circulation plays a big role in it. But what else? What other types of things? Is moisture a big part of it?
Moisture also plays a huge part in it. I had my first really cold sit in a tree stand last year in Kansas, and it was really fun. I was wearing an 800-gram Alpha Burley Pro, which is a rubber over neoprene boot, kind of like you just described, and I thought I was good. I should have, in my mind, I was ready to go, and I was good. I should be able to sit there for 6 hours and be comfortable. Well, what I didn't account for was my hike in to the stand was probably the longer one out of the group that day. Hmm. And during my hike, I got worked up a little bit of a sweat. My socks got wet. My feet got wet. And I didn't have an extra pair of socks. You know, me thinking I had it all figured out, didn't have that luxury of changing out socks and putting something dry on my feet. And that moisture buildup in my boot and in my sock, as you understand how the body naturally cools itself down through evaporative cooling, you sweat and air hits it, and it helps, regulate your temperature. Well, in cold scenarios, what that's doing is it's cooling down too much, and you're not retaining heat, and your foot's naturally feeling, colder. So moisture in cold situations is the enemy. Just as you understand hypothermia and layering and everything else, layering and proper socks and layering under a boot is key there as well. So
what do you do if you want to
either? Go ahead.
If you want to end up at your stand with your 800-gram insulated boots on, how do you get there and how do you manage that moisture? Is it just as simple as carrying an extra pair of socks and changing out when you get there?
Yeah, I think there's a couple options you have. And I've, talked to people that have different philosophies or different ways of doing, depending on how far they have to hike. Some people will carry their rubber boots with them and they're carrying more stuff with them, which mm-hmm. can be a problem, but they can walk in with a lighter insulated leather lace-up boot, take those off, change out socks, and then put their rubber boots on. So when they're sitting, they know they don't have that moisture buildup in their boot anymore. There's people that will just do the simple sock change when they get there. And then I think there's other people that will just, either suffer through it or know that, they'll take their time to where they're not working up as big of a sweat getting into their stand, but that's all relative to how far you have to walk.
Right.
Based on time of when you need to be into your stand and all those things. So there's a lot of variables of what you can do to make your sits more comfortable. But I think it's just being knowledgeable and aware of where you're going, your situation, and how you need to adapt to make that work.
So it seemed
wearing proper socks, that can help a lot. If you're wearing a liner sock with a more of a midweight sock over, so you're pulling that moisture away from and off of your foot, mm-hmm. that has a lot of benefit as well. So
it seems like, choosing the right boot in terms of how much insulation you have in the boot is also pretty critical. So we see a lot of 800 gram this, 1200 gram this. What exactly is that a measure of? First question. And once we know what that's a measure of, is there any standard standard, say, rules of thumb for choosing the right amount of insulation for the temperature?
Yeah, so what that is, what you're seeing there is, if you're looking at our Alpha Burley Pro, and it has the red numbers on there, 800 grams. Underneath it, you'll see Sensilit Ultra Insulation. Some companies are using Primaloft these days as well, and it's all weighed in the same way. And basically what that's telling you is the amount of needled, kind of a lofted insulation that's placed between the rubber layer and the neoprene layer of the boot. And basically what that's doing is creating an air gap space between the outside of the boot and your foot that's going to help retain heat. All right, so the same way you insulate your house, you have insulation in your walls, and that's just to help hold the heat inside the house. Same thing with your boot. You're retaining that heat to help keep your feet warm. So what you see is, so if you see 1,600, that's 1,600 grams of insulation down to, like you said, 800, 1,000, 1,200, or uninsulated where you don't have it at all.
This weekend, we have youth deer season opening, and I remember as a child, one of the biggest struggles for me to be able to become a better hunter was keeping my feet warm. It seemed like they got cold quite often, and so today we're talking with Chris Kerr with Lacrosse Footwear about how we can keep our feet warm. And Chris, before we hit the break, we were talking about moisture management and circulation, and we had gotten into insulation, and you explained what the insulation values actually were. But what I wanted to know is how you select the right amount of insulation.
Yeah, I think it part of it, again, is personal preference at a certain standpoint. For people that wear boots a lot, they start to kind of understand the temperatures they're being outside and being a part of. But then, you know, for somebody new who doesn't quite understand or know what level they should be getting into, what we do as a brand and as a company, and you'll find this information on our website, you'll find it on our boxes at retail. So if you're at a retailer that's kind of a self-service location where you're just pulling boots off a shelf and trying them on yourself and going with that information, we place a comfort zone on our box and on our website. And it's going to kind of help share with you what cold levels the boots rated for are good for. We do some testing out of Kansas State, I believe it is. We do some CLOW value testing. And that helps us kind of position boots at different levels based on temperature and whatnot. But to make it simple for the user, we just put a simple temperature range. So an 800-gram Alpha Burley Pro, we put in a cold comfort zone. It's kind of a good mid-season boot. It kind of stretches you into colder temperatures, but can be worn a little earlier. And we give it a temperature range. And right here on our website, it says 40 degrees Fahrenheit down to, we actually say negative 50. I've never personally been in a negative 50 situation. I think there's a lot of other things that influence that, but that's kind of the standard that you'll see across different brands in the industry, giving pretty large ratings like that.
Well, I think if I get caught in some negative 50, I'm just going to pour gasoline on my feet and set them on fire. But luckily, we don't have to deal with that too much in Alabama. But, well, you know, there's so much to cover here. We could get into a lot of different things. But with the time we got left, I really want you to hit quickly on probably the only other thing that would end your hunt like cold feet will, and that's blisters. And so really, just talk to me about, first off, when you get a hot spot, so before you get a blister, but you get that initial, I think I'm going to get a blister, hot spot, what should you do at that moment?
If you feel a hot spot coming on, don't do like I used to do when I was growing up and just say, oh, maybe it'll go away. Address it. Like, stop what you're doing, sit down, figure out what's causing the hot spot, and make an adjustment. I kind of have three things in my mind that say, if I'm feeling a hot spot, I'm going to stop and address the issue. I'm going to either readjust what I'm doing. So maybe it's a sock issue. Maybe my socks are bunching up and creating a pressure point or a wear point. maybe my socks are too wet and that moisture and that friction's causing the hot spot. But I'm just going to evaluate it and readjust. I'm going to change my socks because maybe it's, like I said, it's moisture. Or I'm going to take it to the next level. If I don't have if I don't have the ability to adjust with laces like in a rubber boot, I'm going to put down a layer of protection. So I'm going to take some moleskin and cut a patch out and layer it over the hot spot so it reduces that rubbing or that friction spot. So the key is just identify that you have a hot spot, stop what you're doing, and try to alleviate it before
with that moleskin. Are you taking the moleskin and putting it actually on the inside of the boot where you're getting the hot spot, or are you putting it on your skin?
It's designed to go on your skin. Right. And the idea behind it is that you are eliminating any friction of a sock rubbing directly on your skin or the boot itself. It's just creating another barrier of protection or another layer that's going to take that rubbing or that friction. There's different thicknesses of it too. Like if you get a blister, you're supposed to cut the circle out so it's not actually on the blister, but you have kind of a barrier around the blister to keep it from rubbing further. But some people will just cut like a strip of it where they're having a hot spot. Some people even use tape. I've seen people use duct tape before just to keep, in extreme cases, keep that spot from getting rubbed any further.
Right. Well, Chris, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and I've learned a lot. I know there's a lot more to talk about here. Folks, if y'all want more information on choosing the right boot and getting the right insulation set up, y'all go over to lacrossefootwear.com. Chris, thanks again for being on the show, and good luck with your hunting season.
Yeah, thanks a bunch. Appreciate for having me.